CBS News Brief. It's hot in much of the country and more records could fall today. Reporter Ross DeMattei is in Philadelphia.
The heat has been brutal and it's also taking a toll on students and parents. Yesterday, thousands of kids were dismissed early because of excessive heat and inadequate cooling at schools, and that's going to be the case once again today.
Climate change could be leading to more mosquitoes and more viruses. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
What we think is happening is horses, perhaps other animals, are the host. Mosquitoes are biting them and then transmitting that infection to humans.
A video obtained by CBS News showed then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on January 6th during the riots accusing Donald Trump of having something to do with it.
There's a domestic enemy in the White House. And let's not mince words about this.
HBO will now turn over that video to Congress. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. COVID-19 testing levels in Wisconsin are higher now than they've been since February. The surge is happening at the same time as the start of the school year. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services tests wastewater for COVID levels. The biggest spike appears to be happening in northeast Wisconsin. Janesville officials are applying for a federal grant to repurpose the site of the old General Motors plant. Economic Development Director Jim C. Kuborn says it could be a boost to the surrounding neighborhood.
We've got trees growing up in the middle of asphalt and fences falling over. And so go in and create a green opportunity, a green field for new development and new opportunity.
Three public meetings on Janesville's grant application start next month. $20 million is available to cities nationwide. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Del Monte worker died after hitting his head on a train track. 43-year-old Tretrevina Lowe of Portage County had been seriously injured after his head hit the rail behind Del Monte. It happened on Friday just before 5 p.m. Authorities were called to the plant and life-saving measures were performed but were unsuccessful. No foul play is suspected. A 40-year-old man from Almond sentenced this week for stealing money from the COVID-19 pandemic relief program. Curtis A. Alleny will spend a year and a day in federal prison for wire fraud and money laundering. In April of 2020, Alleny submitted an economic injury disaster loan application to the Small Business Administration for his business, Curtis A. Alleny, Inc. Alleny received over $149,000 and used the funds to purchase a Cadillac and other personal expenses. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers lose in a battle of home runs. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee hit two home runs, but the San Francisco Giants hit three of their own to win 5-4 on Tuesday night, including the go-ahead shot by Mike Yastrzemski. Manager Pat Murphy says it was a hot night at AmFam Field.
I think guys were a little warm and sweating profusely, but I think it, you know, both teams did a nice job. I thought it was a fairly well-played game, and I thought I love the way we competed.
Milwaukee was leading the NL Central by 12 games a week ago, but after losing four of the last six, the Brewers' lead is down to nine in front of the Chicago Cubs. The second of three games in the series against the Giants is tonight in Milwaukee. The Packers trimmed their roster down to 53 players on Tuesday. Green Bay placed running back A.J. Dillon on injured reserve in one of the moves. The Packers also kept kicker Greg Joseph over Anders Carlson, a sixth-round draft pick last year. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy today with a few spotty sprinkles possible. Otherwise, much cooler and more refreshing. With high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s today, they'll spike to the low 80s tomorrow. With a ton more sunshine on tap, all ahead of showers and storms pushing in by night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers kick off the season against Western Michigan. Our coverage begins at 6 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them. Oh no, they're about to. Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Maggie Dawn.
Did you know that dark money groups are spending millions to hire paid canvassers in Wisconsin on behalf of Donald Trump? I'll tell you all about it next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our fine producer, engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon. It is Wednesday, August 28th, 2024. It's a great day to be Wisconsinite and
Hump Day.
Indeed, it is Hump Day once again. Welcome back high atop State Street. A block off the Capitol Square, not quite as sultry and sticky as it was yesterday. We welcome in from Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 across Civic Media. The star, the host, the gentleman, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Patrick, how are you?
You calling me sultry and sticky? What was this? I missed part of it here. Nice to see you. I have found you. There you are.
So here's the deal. I normally join Pat on his show around 7:48 every Wednesday morning.
Exactly. Every Wednesday. Every.
And I got up and I was watching the morning news and having a cup of coffee. And about, I don't know what time it was, 8:15, I had talked to Luke Mathers on something else today. And he goes, you okay? I said, well, yeah, why?
Clearly did not hear me going out my window. Just nothing.
Like the Swiss Alps.
Yep.
I spaced, Pat. I'm sorry. I can't. I have no excuse than my stupidity.
No. We have all done it. It's all fine, and it only makes for some good radio banter.
Right. Exactly.
All is good. I will say it's not on your topic list, but yeah. Just so folks know, maybe you'll cover this later. I was going to hit you up with the I don't have a better word for this. Yeah. The stupidity of Eric Hovde being part of a big Republican fundraiser tomorrow in Orange County, the one place he shouldn't be. So we'll maybe cover that later on.
Yeah, we'll see if we can we'll sneak that in a little bit. But yeah, OC Eric Hovde, literally having a fundraiser in Orange County. Not exactly the smartest thing politically if you're trying to avoid being labeled as someone from out of state. Not exactly the smartest thing to do. But yes, I'm sorry, Pat, I missed the show today. I'll be back on my horse next week. So
No problem. What can I do for you today?
Well, we're happy to have you. And joining us from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., our always wonderful guest host on Wednesdays and out in, for the Democratic National Convention as well, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson. Trigvi, how are you? We're getting a little echo. Is everything well?
Yeah.
Where is that coming from, Mr. Zommers?
That's from me. I got a small... I'm having a small technical issue.
But see, this is fantastic because he's gotten to the point where, yes, he knows it's
live radio, man.
He knows
nothing
it's
like
from him. That's yep. Right. All right. Well, we'll let you
Sorry
get sit.
About that.
No, that's no problem. We'll let you get situated. Guys, I want to start off.
Well, no. Todd, yeah. we got to let him get, we got to use the word with our new addition here. We got to let him get recombobulated. See what I did there?
Look at see that. What I did there? Look, yeah, see, okay. A pro's pro, Pat Breitlow.
Dan Schaefer owes me $5. There we go.
Okay. Well, you, and again, a pro's pro. Coming up on the second hour of the show, Dan Schaefer of the aforementioned recombobulation area. And it was announced this week that he and the recombobulation area are being folded into and joining Civic Media. Also, Dan will now serve as our political director here at Civic Media. I, for one, am absolutely over the moon about this. A great addition, a great guy, and bringing some great legitimacy in terms of political history, of breaking down. Here, Dan's the kind of guy, Pat, and you know this, who knows these legislative districts and the numbers inside and out and just off the top of his head.
Yeah, he does all the homework. Right. And I really appreciate that. Clearly, a lot of other people do when you see all the congratulations he was getting online. It's a solid addition, a great move by Sage and everybody at Civic Media. So I think this is going to be a great little arrangement moving forward.
I do as well. Dan Schaefer will be here after the 1:30 break. And coming up just a little bit later this hour, our friend and ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn, attorney and two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, also a great author as well. If you haven't read his new book, Chasing Bernie Sanders, not Bernie Sanders, no.
Hunting Bernie Weber.
Hunting Bernie Weber. I'm sorry, Matt. I had Bernie Sanders on the brain. No, Hunting Bernie Weber. I'm halfway through it. It's a great book. So we'll talk to Matt a little bit later about that. But first, guys, I want to get to, I want to follow up on how we ended yesterday's show. And that was asking this question. It was an editorial in an Esquire asking the question, how the hell did Donald Trump get into Arlington National Cemetery to do political photography? I thought it was absolutely appalling. And today there is new reporting by Quill Lawrence and Tom Bauman of National Public Radio. And I'm going to read in part. It says, NPR has learned that two members of former President Trump's campaign had a verbal and physical altercation with an official at Arlington National Cemetery on Monday. A source with knowledge of the events in the cemetery officials tried to prevent Trump staffers from filming and photographing in a section where recent U.S. casualties were buried. The source said Arlington officials made it clear that only a cemetery staff member could photograph the area known as Section 60. When the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump campaign staff from entering Section 60, campaign staff verbally abused and pushed aside the official. When the cemetery official tried to prevent Trump's staff from going in, there was more verbal and physical assault. President Trump participated in a wreath-laying ceremony at the cemetery on Monday. Pat, I find this abhorrent. I think all three of us have spent time at Arlington. It is sacred ground, perhaps the most hallowed ground in the continental U.S.
There is no sacred ground for Donald Trump. There is nothing but him, and in this case, his photo opportunity, the political stunt. Trigvi might have to help me out on the name here. Trump's campaign communications director, Stephen...
Jason Miller.
No, I was talking about Stephen. It's either Cheng or Chung. I forget. C-H-U-N-G.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this is how low these people have gone. Mm-hmm. They're now also claiming, without any evidence or details, that the person who was trying to keep them from taking the photos and video was, quote, clearly suffering from a mental health episode and tried to physically block members of President Trump team during a very solemn ceremony. Don't you for a moment try to take the high ground on this one. I mean, again, it's an insult to pond scum to say that this guy and the rest of the Trump team was that low in using Arlington National Cemetery as a political prop, Trigvi. I'm outraged.
Before we Trigvi, I want to mention this quickly. This is the statement this morning from Arlington National Cemetery. Quote, federal law prohibits political campaign or election-related activities with Army National Military Cemeteries to include photographs, content creators, or any other persons attending for purposes or in direct support of a partisan political candidate's campaign. Trigvi?
Yeah, I mean, I just think they have no shame, right? Like, and particularly given what John Kelly has said that Donald Trump suggested about wounded veterans, those who are quite frankly in Arlington National Cemetery. My family and I go over there every Memorial Day and just kind of walk around, and then we watch this
the guys come. It's called Rolling Thunder, where the Harley Davidsons go driving through with veterans. The idea that somebody would try and use Arlington National Cemetery for political means, regardless of party, is just outrageous. And for somebody to do that who thinks that John McCain wasn't a war hero, or that those who've been wounded, or thinks that those gold medal families are fools for giving up their children for good of country, is just beyond pale.
And by the way, you mentioned one of Trump's advisors, Chris LaCivita, who also said in his statement about this cemetery official trying to stop them, said that that was in itself a disgrace, and that that person does not deserve to represent the hallowed sick grounds of Arlington National Cemetery. It's not hallowed grounds. It's hallowed grounds. Mm-hmm. You don't even know enough to use the right word to discuss the cemetery that you're using as a prop. There is no bottom here for these guys.
No.
Well, I'm not going to defend Chris on the use of Arlington National Cemetery. I will say, I've seen some people attacking Chris and saying that he doesn't know military service. He actually won 2 Purple Hearts and was injured as a Marine in the first Gulf War pretty badly. He still walks with a limp. But which, that said, quite frankly, that's what makes it more outrageous. Chris knows better.
He does know better.
I know he listened. He should have stopped Trump
and went right for that apology of saying that somehow the medals that he gave out are more advantageous than the Congressional Medals of Honor that, you know, those who fought and died for our country should get. If he's not leading the charge toward getting his candidate to clean that up, I don't know what credibility he has despite his very meritorious service. Sorry, I'm just really bothered.
No, 100%. And, you know, I would just say, I know he reads a lot of what I comment. I don't know if he reads transcripts of this, but Chris, you know better. And I say that as your friend. You know better. Stop.
And I also think it says a lot about people like Derek Van Orden, who like to run around and talk about their military service and still supports a guy like Trump who does this. There's no room here, in my opinion, for Derek Van Orden to talk big when he supports a candidate who is disgracing the most sacred ground, some of the most sacred ground in the United States of America.
There's nothing but room for individuals in the Republican Party to stand up and to say that this is not right and this should not happen and you should stand down and apologize. And yet there appears to be almost nobody big enough among current elected politicians and officials in the Republican Party to do that. That used to be basic. That used to be the baseline to be a political figure in America. And we can't even get a Derek Van Orden to say, that's too far, sir. Don't do that again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and that goes both ways, you know. And I know Tulsi Gabbard, I think, is doing an event with Trump in La Crosse, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow. But I will tell you, there are voices on the left who condemn Tulsi Gabbard when she does this kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. A couple minutes left here. We're going to transition into, we're going to be picking up this story, Pat, I know you've talked about. I want to give you a minute to give your take on it, on these voter suppression issues in Texas. We'll set it up better when we come back. But this, to me, is one of the most underreported, untalked about stories, under-talked about stories this week.
We actually went through several stories. We went through Georgia, what's happening in Texas, in Nebraska, where they're trying to, again, put lifetime bans on voting for people convicted of felonies who have paid their debt to society. And there were more examples that we gave this morning. You cannot be vigilant enough in your own community. Rusk County in Wisconsin, where they're not using electronic machines the way they should for the disabled because they're afraid of any conspiracy. You've got to be on guard about these things. I'm glad you're talking about them.
Pat Kreitler always talks about some important things, has some fun along the way every morning, 6 until 8. Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate you. Talk to you soon. Come on back. We got Trigvi Olsen, Matt Flynn on the other side. We'll break down what's happening in Texas. Voter suppression is why I left the Republican Party. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay, Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history, bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to the Tom Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 20 now before the hour, pardon me, after the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, August 28th. Whenever we hear Johnny Cash on this show, chances are you're going to hear the voice of our friend and ongoing contributor. He is an attorney, a two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, and a great author as well. Great book out right now. We bring him on, Matt Flynn, joining us live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Matt, how are you?
Good, Todd. Great to be with you in Frigby, and this is an interesting time in politics. Yes.
May you live in interesting times, a curse like none other, correct?
Right. Chinese curse.
Yes. Before we get into this topic, I want to go quickly to the phone lines. Bob, listening on WAUK in Waukesha. Bob, I think you wanted to call in, talk about the topic real quickly. What we were talking about before the break, which was Donald Trump going to Arlington National Cemetery and using it as a prop for a campaign photo and video. And now reports from National Public Radio saying that workers at Arlington were both physically and verbally abused, and Arlington National Cemetery coming out today with a statement saying that that was simply inappropriate. Bob, go ahead.
Well, since 2016, Trump has shown his dislike for veterans. He calls us suckers and losers. And his staff, I'm sure, is no better than he is. And all that was a photo op at Arlington, and the rules are the rules, and he didn't want to follow the rules. Naturally, he doesn't follow any rules, and it was just something in your face, Joe Biden. And you know, it's we've got to get rid of this man. We've got to vote him out. And CJ, you're just
all right. Let's not go into personal attacks on other callers. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate your comments. Matt, I want to give you just a 1 minute here. You're a Navy veteran, stood up for veterans, and you've been in the military. What are your thoughts on Trump using Arlington National Cemetery as a political campaign prop?
Yeah, it was disgusting, and I'll tell you two things. One is even the staff there knew it, and they were shoved aside, physically shoved aside. And secondly, this is the guy who has said that people who are wounded or killed in combat are suckers and losers. He said that John McCain, he didn't like him because he was, quote, captured, end quote. And he said that the Medal of Freedom, which is a civilian honor, is greater than the Medal of Honor, which goes to combat veterans who are wounded or killed in battle. They also didn't promote our officers for 10 months, Tommy Tuberville, at Trump's insistence. So I think the military, quite frankly, if he got back in as commander-in-chief, would be in grave danger.
Matt Flynn, again, two-time chair of the Democratic Party, an attorney, great author as well. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. I want to play for us all now and our listeners this great interview of a couple of days ago from CBS's Major Garrett, senior Washington chief correspondent there. Does a great job. It's a little bit long, just over 4 minutes. We're going to play the bulk of it for you. This is an interview with Juan Pereno. He is the CEO of the League of Latino American Citizens, about what is going on with this Republican attorney general in Texas, Paxton, and the efforts to suppress the vote there. I want to listen to this and come back and get Matt and Trigvi's take on this. Here is the interview with Major Garrett from CBS News.
Describe what happened in these raids and what raises the highest level of concern for your organization.
Good evening, Major Garrett. What we heard on Thursday was very concerning to us. On Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., Lydia Martinez, a 35-year member of BULAC, was served with a search warrant. 7 to 8 police officers entered her home. They interrogated her for over 3 hours, looking for cell phones, computers, documentation relative to her voter registration efforts in San Antonio.
And what is the source of the information that led the Attorney General's office to take these actions, so far as you can tell?
You know, there are a couple of different narratives that we're hearing, but essentially he's saying that he has started this election integrity investigation over 2 years ago. It seems like it basically goes back to a candidate, a Republican candidate who lost and basically reported, voter harvesting as the result of that. There was no evidence that was provided at all whatsoever.
So these raids occurred because subpoenas were issued, and you're still trying to find out what the source material or the evidentiary basis of those subpoenas was. Is that correct?
That's correct. You know, there have been, at least from what we can tell, about 5 different subpoenas issued as of last Tuesday. Unfortunately, it took us about 48 hours to learn of this because the victims in this particular case were told not to talk to anyone about it. They were left without cell phones, without computers, in our case, Lydia Martinez, without her appointment book, which she basically uses to track all of her doctor's appointments, prescription medicine, no way to actually even contact her family. She actually had to drive to a neighbor's home to get help reconnecting with her family.
Has there been any effort to obtain a judicial injunction on this activity?
One of the defendants, Manuel Medina, actually has. So he has a lawyer, and he has filed an injunction to stop the search of the all the devices that essentially were seized during that raid. But we're working with our BULAC members to ensure that they also have legal protection and legal counsel as well.
All right, let's stop the tape right there, Mr. Zommers. We're going to pick this up. We will play the entire clip, but I want to stop here. Matt Flynn, about a couple minutes left here. Start to help us understand this from a legal perspective. What the Attorney General in Texas did, if I've got it right, is get a subpoena and went in and searched this person's home under essentially rumors of wrongdoing or quote-unquote election integrity and voter harvesting, but there appears to be no evidence that that ever happened. How can this happen in the United States of America, Matt Flynn?
Well, here's what's happening. First of all, Paxton has been charged with a felony, with securities fraud, and he's dragged it out for about 5 years. That's number one. Number two, what they've done is simply trying to intimidate Latino voters, especially in Harris County, which is Houston, and prevent them from voting. And they're doing it by simply attacking and searching Latino homes and on the false premise that there may be something wrong with the election. And there is not. This is not only illegitimate, it's pretextual. They're doing this simply to attack Latino voters. And I hope, right, and that the reason for that is that Cruz and our guy, the Democrat against him, are within the margin of error. They're within 1 or 2 points. And Kamala Harris has improved her standing against Trump there by about 4 points. They are desperately afraid they'll lose it. And so this is just part of a concerted effort to attack minority voters. But, you know, Latinos are more than just a minority voter. They're a very large population in Texas. And at some point, I hope they all get the message that this is racially attacking them by a guy who's himself a dishonest individual. There's nothing legitimate about it. This business of rumors is all, even rumors is false. They generate the rumors. And they're simply doing it to drive down minority votes.
Trivia also, to come back on the other side, talk more with you. You've actually fought against autocracies around the world, in particular in Eastern Europe. Just really quickly, as an American who worked around the world, did you ever think you'd see things like this in your own country?
No.
that's a brief and succinct answer.
I don't have any other answers.
We'll come back. Talk Matt Flynn, Trigvi Olsen. More of this interview with Major Garrett on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Wednesday from Chicago, grain prices continue in their slump, and this is in part due to the time of year. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Wednesday. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend says we're in a critical calendar window now called First Notice Day for September grain contracts.
This is a window where if somebody is long the market, they need to either get out of that position or they need to deliver against the market. Now, we're in a spot here, too. A lot of producers do what they call basis contracts. Those are due to be priced out here in the next couple of days before that first notice day window. And unfortunately, the way the market's moved, some people are kind of stuck behind the eight ball here and having to make some pretty tough decisions, whether the price bushels, move bushels, things of that nature. And that's just been weighing on the market, especially in the corn market here most recently, as we continue to break through new lows, being led by that pricing window here for those September futures.
John Heinberg is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You can find him online at totalfarmmarketing.com. We'll take a look at what midday prices are doing in 60 seconds.
Mark your calendar for a huge Dane County, Wisconsin dairy and land auction near Sun Prairie. The sale features a modern and fully operational 1,100-cow dairy facility and 380-plus acres of prime farmland to be sold in three tracts. This online auction closes Tuesday, August 27th at 1 p.m. Go to steffisgroup.com for aerial photos, complete track descriptions, and facility specifications. That's steffesgroup.com.
All right, team. Pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production.
So they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
As we talked about before the break with market advisor John Heinberg, corn and soybeans are weaker. Cash corn down a penny and a quarter at 366 a bushel. December new crop corn down a quarter of a cent at 392 and a half. Cash beans are down 7 1/4 cents at 960 and a quarter. November new crop beans down 8 cents at 978 and a half. Cash and new crop wheat is trading up a nickel and a half at 513 3/4. The Class 3 milk contracts are giving back yesterday's gains. September milk down 24 cents at 22.34 a hundredweight. The October Class 3 milk contract is down 13 cents, but trading at 22.70 a hundredweight. Our own Ben Jarbo is on the road today in Lancaster for the Stockmanship and Stewardship event, the first time it's been in Wisconsin. Stay tuned at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a few spotty sprinkles possible. Otherwise, much cooler and more refreshing. With high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s today, they'll spike to the low 80s tomorrow. With a ton more sunshine on tap, all ahead of showers and storms pushing in by night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Pilot with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Hey Badger fans, fall is right around the corner and so is the return of Badger football. Experience the excitement of Friday Night Lights at Camp Randall Stadium on August 30th as the Badgers take on Western Michigan. Individual tickets start at just $35 with all-inclusive group packages still available. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seats for the Friday night home opener of Wisconsin football on August 30th. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly is my guest co-host for the first hour, and then we're joined by Paul Noonan talking sports, weather, and wine with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show and the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, August 28th. 2024. Glad to have you. Senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trygve Olson, like myself, a former Republican, joins us here on this Wednesday as guest co-host, as does our friend and ongoing contributor. He's an attorney. He's a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin and has a brand new book out. He's a great author. Matt Flynn. Matt, give us a plug quickly. What's the book and where can they find it?
Yeah, great to talk to you, Todd. Thank you. And the book is Hunting Bernie Weber, Hunting Bernie Weber by Matt Flynn. You can get it anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And it's set in Washington, D.C. and in Milwaukee. And I'll leave you with this, Todd. If anybody out there is familiar with the Three Brothers restaurant in Bayview,
sure.
If they're familiar with River West, UWM, all of those are the scenes of crimes in this book. So they'll enjoy the heck out of it, I think. It's selling very well. Hunting Bernie Weber by Matt Flynn. And you'll never see Milwaukee or Wisconsin in the same light after you read this book.
That's fantastic. I appreciate it. You have to look, and you have to search for Matthew J. Flynn when you're looking, right?
And don't confuse him with Vince Flynn.
Right, Vince Flynn is a whole other thing.
Yeah, well, he's dead, but he also was a hell of a—he sold a lot of books. Right. I have mixed feelings.
We appreciate you being here, Matt, as Trygve as well, discussing this. I think this is a really important story, guys. I think it's an underreported story, and that's why I have so much respect for Major Garrett, chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, for doing this interview with Juan Perreño, who is the CEO of the League of Latino American Citizens, talking about Texas Republican Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, raiding Latino Democrats' homes, including members of the League of Latino American Citizens, getting a subpoena. But as Matt laid out before the break there, really not much evidence that there was any wrongdoing here. I want to pick up the rest of this interview between Major Garrett and Juan Perreño and then come back and discuss it.
When the Attorney General's office says, as it did in the announcement of this, this is just a matter of making sure that voting is legal and proper in Texas, when you hear that, what about that sounds intimidating to your organization? Or is it the way the raids were conducted?
It's not just the way that the raids were conducted. This is a pattern that the Attorney General Paxton has actually been pursuing for some time. In early June, he went after the Catholic Charities of Rio Grande Valley, a highly esteemed organization that provides support for immigrants legally in the United States. In July, he went after the Annunciation House, which is a refugee home for migrants as well. 2 weeks ago, he went after over 24 Latino nonprofit organizations that are basically serving the community. They act as the social safety net when the federal government cannot provide for these families. And just last week, he went after community leaders. So our big surprise was essentially that he's gone beyond the pale. He's going after individuals, LULAC members, Latino leaders, civic leaders, essentially in their community, that are doing what they should be doing, which is engaging Latinos who are eligible to vote in these elections.
Juan, does it tell you anything about the state of play of Texas politically from the vantage point of Republicans that this activity is taken on prominence in the headlines? And how do you believe not only your organization, but those sympathetic with it in Texas are likely to respond?
There's been a huge shift in Texas, right? Today, as it stands, there are 12.1 million Hispanics in Texas. That's 39% of the population in the state of Texas. Latinos actually outnumber non-Hispanic whites in the state of Texas. And when you account for Hispanic, African-American, Asian-Americans, you're talking about 58% of the population of Texas are minorities. Texas is now a majority-minority state. And Republicans in control are afraid they will exercise their vote and they will vote them out of office.
Do you believe Texas in the presidential election is actually in play?
You know, there are certain specific districts that are absolutely in play, right? And so one of those search warrants was actually on a candidate that's actually running in District 60, I believe. And so there is absolutely no question that this is a voter intimidation tactic. It is an effort to threaten our community activists, our community leaders, and to also chill the Latino vote. We are writing a letter and have written a letter, delivered a letter to the Assistant Attorney General, Kristen Clark, who's in charge of the Civil Rights Division, and we're demanding an investigation.
Great interview by the great Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News, Major Garrett, with Juan Perrano, who is the CEO of the League of Latino American Citizens, talking about this raid by Republican Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on homes of Latino Democrats. You heard it here, Trigvy, in this interview, one of whom is a Democratic candidate for office who has a good chance of winning their district. You have fought against autocracies around the world, including Eastern Europe. You've been banned from Russia by Putin himself. You've spent a lot of time there on behalf of John McCain and others. Break this down for us and tell us this pattern that you're hearing in this interview happening in the United States of America and how that aligns with things you've seen in other countries.
Well, I think the foundational question that people on the conservative Republican side have to ask themselves, if the groups that were being rounded up or were being investigated in a state were pro-life organizations and business organizations and NGOs that are doing voter registration on the right, which there are, would they question by a Democratic attorney general and one with a track record in a very blue state, would they be concerned about it? And the answer is, yeah, they would be concerned about it. And so the reality is, I think anytime you have something like this, where you have this close to an election, attorney general from one party moving against groups that are doing things from another party, that raises real questions. Now, what they'll cite is, well, look at their, all that they'll do is they're going to say all kinds of what about. Well, what about what Jack Smith's doing? What about this? What about that? But the reality is those have been ongoing well before the election cycle started. Paxton, when there are election fraud cases, the right thing to do is to be investigating them and move afterwards if there is real litigation. But you also have to understand the history of Texas and Paxton. Like, there's a lot of reason to be skeptical that this is far outside the norm of what should be behavior by an attorney general. And I think it's a sign, quite frankly, that they're really worried, particularly probably about the Senate race and Ted Cruz, where he's running against Wayne Allard, who's like a real candidate.
Matt Flynn,
the football guy. Yeah, I might have said the wrong name, but
yeah,
Allard is his
name. Allard did a former NFL player, hugely popular in Texas. He spoke in a primetime speaking role at the Democratic National Convention. Yeah, he's legit. And to Matt Flynn's point, I think Ted Cruz probably is worried. Matt Flynn, again, as an attorney, you've represented the Catholic Church in court. Here's a guy in Paxton down in Texas who's going after Catholic charities, for goodness sake. People who are taking care of Latino immigrants. This is just the worst of the worst, some of the worst of the worst, in my opinion, that people go after people with legal subpoenas in hand just to be cruel and to suppress the vote.
Right. Well, there's a couple of issues here, and this is an important issue. First of all, with Catholic Charities, it simply takes care of human beings. So somebody comes across the border and they have an infant who is hungry and cold. They're going to take care of the infant or anybody. It doesn't matter. They're not making a statement legally on whether those people should have asylum, should be returned, but they're providing immediate care and food frequently to kids. And I think that's a wonderful mission, and I think it's wrong to go after them. But secondly, take a broader look. As you were saying about Trigvy, he has a strong record in fighting against autocracies around the world. One of the signal tactics of, for instance, Russian fascism, Russian communism, really, when they go into Poland or Ukraine, they would jail and sometimes kill leaders. They would kill journalists, clergy. They would kill office holders. And what this guy is doing by going against the Latin American Union of Latin American Citizens, these are not just the average person in the street. I mean, these are people, in one case, a political candidate. In the other person, with Catholic Charities, it's clergy. But beyond that, it's journalists and others. And they're sending a message. So the average person who isn't a fancy type person may say, God, I better not vote. Mm. You know, I might get arrested when I'm voting. That is an intimidation tactic.
And we saw that really, this is literally why I left the Republican Party in 2011. People have heard the story. I'm not going to go deep into it. But I witnessed behind closed doors Republican Senate caucus in Wisconsin specifically putting legislation together to make it affect, quote, people in Madison and Milwaukee and college campuses, i.e. black and brown citizens and young people who tend to more often than not vote Democratic. And it's because Trygve Olson, our former party, in my opinion, you can say your piece, I don't believe that their ideas can any longer connect with 50% plus one of the Wisconsin electorate on a regular basis, so they have to go to tactics like this to win.
Well, I think that's not only true in Wisconsin, it's true to a large degree across the country, in part because, and this is a conversation for another day, Todd, but I have this whole theory that what has happened is, you know, the conservative movement started in the 70s and 60s and 70s is actually 70s is kind of a counterbalance to what was happening on the left. And you had the Reagan Revolution, you had Republican State Congress for the first time in 50 years in 1994. And the truth of the matter is that conservative agenda, they won on most issues. Mm-hmm. And what happened is they ran out of issues. And welfare was reformed by people like Tommy Thompson and Bill Clinton, for God's sakes, right? Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, the era of big government is over. So what's happened is they're left with nothing. And the movement has not modernized itself. And so they don't connect, and what they're left with is trying to hold power for power's sake and leveraging power to keep power. And that is, at a basic level, very, very sort of autocratic leaning.
Matt Flynn.
And a slippery slope.
Matt Flynn, two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Trygve and I were there, two former Republican guys, at our first Democratic National Convention.
If you ever... Mikashin's the one who right. made the point, right? Right? Like, and it was a good point. What were the odds of that?
Right. Mikashin said, if you would have asked us 20 years ago if the three of us would meet at the Democratic National Convention in 2024, we would have said you were crazy, Matt. But there we were. And you know what? We had a hell of a great time. But I want your take as someone who is a lifelong Democrat. Trygve and I made the observation, as others have, the Democratic Party has taken control of the narrative of the party of patriotism, the party of a pro-veteran, the party of pro-military. I thought it was a perfectly executed Democratic National Convention on messaging and narrative, something that we, as Trygve and I, have not seen very often from Democrats. What's your take as a Democrat?
Yeah, well, let me just say this. On the ship that I served on, we had Democrats and Republicans, and we had people from the South, the North, the East, the Midwest. And, you know, we didn't talk about it. We went on Liberty together. We stood watch together. We served together. And that is the base of this entire country and both parties. What you're talking about is a small fringe in the Republican Party at the very top, which is Trump, who are not indicative of the Republican Party. John McCain is much more representative of the Republican Party. And the Democratic Party, you know, remember something. You had John Kennedy getting the Navy Cross. You had John Kerry getting the Silver Star. There are patriots in both parties. So it is true that the messaging, the term you use, from this convention was very strong on patriotism. It should have been. But it always reflected the base of the Democratic Party. And John McCain and people like him always reflected the base of the Republican Party. So I think that I don't look on it as messaging. I look on it as reality.
Hold that thought, Matt Flynn. As Matt likes to say, do not go anywhere. We see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Your phone calls. Trygve, Matt, Allball, Zomers. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
November 21st, 2021. The Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration, turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an eight-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Sorry, I almost decided to end the show early there. 10 before the hour.
You're on Eastern time.
I know. I'm on Eastern time here. Absolutely crazy. One quick update here from a listener, Rob in Tigerton. I've been in Tigerton, a lovely town, listening on WXCO in Wausau. Rob says they're kind of a traffic report here for us that apparently a car has gone into the Wolf River on Highway 29 westbound by Highway 22 exit of 225. So if you're in that area, be aware that there's all kinds of backup right now. Apparently the incident happened about 45 minutes ago. So be aware. We appreciate the heads up there on the traffic report from Rob in Tigerton. More updates from our Civic Media News crew. We have Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Matt Flynn, former attorney, two-time chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and a great author as well. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. 855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in. I know you want to talk about voting integrity a little bit. If you can keep it brief, please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. First of all, you hear the terms drop boxes. They are not just some place where somebody drops a vote. They're authorized ballot collection boxes, and they're certified to be usable by people who want to do absentee or early voting by Wisconsin Elections Commission. I despise terms like that. There's another disparaging term that I heard, though, too, which is, ballot harvesting. And in many cases, ballot harvesting is simply people that are in a particular location, and yes, they are collecting ballots. These are signed, sealed, authorized ballots coming from people who are legal voters. And in Wisconsin, unfortunately, you can't even do that because the only person that is allowed to deposit a ballot any place is apparently the person that makes the ballot,
right?
Fills it out.
Jack, I appreciate the call, Jack. Up against the clock here. Matt Flynn, I want to get one other thing in. So if we can quickly, again, just address this, these things that Jack's bringing up here. It seems, a solution in search of a problem here on these quote-unquote election integrity, because in Wisconsin we know that elections are free, safe, and fair.
That's true. And, Jack's right on the money. He's getting that terminology which is used to undermine voting. So this business of drop boxes being a pejorative is ridiculous. But on ballot harvesting, I'm going to just tell you this. Down on the Navajo reservations in Arizona, some post offices are about 60 miles away, and you have an elderly Indian woman who doesn't have a car. Mm-hmm. So what they will do is there's a mail drop once a week. They'll all go and put their whatever mail, their bills, everything else, their ballots in a box, and somebody from the tribe takes it down and mails it. Nothing wrong with that.
That's what happens down there. That's not harvesting. Harvesting right. has a pejorative overtone to it. It's something you can't do in Wisconsin, but in Wisconsin we have much more access to post offices. So I think it's important to make sure when you're debating with Republicans or others, do not let them set the terms with pejorative terms. Do not let them set the terms with things that sound bad, because it's not bad, it's good.
Well, I'll get quickly, a new Lincoln Project ad just dropped in digital and otherwise. CNN played part of this over the weekend. I want to get part of this ad, get both your takes on this here. I believe it was, I'm not sure who's hosting this, but this is from CNN playing part of this new Lincoln Project ad.
Abigail, right?
How do you know
her? Were you about 8 weeks pregnant? See, you've been spotting recently. You've had any cramps or nausea?
That's personal.
You've been taking your prenatal vitamins?
Excuse me?
And your navigation is sent to a women's health clinic in one of those abortion states.
We have the right to travel.
Not anymore. You, sir, are under arrest for crossing state lines to obtain an abortion for a minor under your care. And you, young lady, well, you're under arrest for evading motherhood.
That is part of the new ad from the Lincoln Project. Basically, what appears to be a dad and his daughter going to get health care, pulled over by police and being arrested. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project, powerful ad.
Yeah, that ad is Rick Wilson as best. Not the best topic, though. You know, the purpose of that is we talk a lot in states like Wisconsin, and that ad is geared right towards what we call Dobbs dads, which tend to be people like myself, girl dads who are conservative, have a history, you know, partisan, their partisan leanings are towards Republicans, but who are pausing in large part because, while they may be pro-life themselves, they believe that those should be family decisions, not for some theocrat to decide any more than government should be deciding what kind of shotgun I'm going to have in my gun safe.
Right.
And those are real things for people like me. With two daughters.
With two daughters. And Matt Flynn, I mean, you know, people might say, well, gee, that's a little over the top, right? But it gets your attention. But the fact is, from a legal standpoint, and Trigvi's colleague, Stuart Stevens, later on in that same interview, that clip, he points out this is based in reality. This kind of stuff has happened in states where the law has changed, Matt Flynn.
Texas.
Right. And let's remember a couple of things. Under the Privileges and Immunities Clause in the U.S. Constitution, you have a right to travel. That's why you don't have to show a passport when you go into Illinois. So, but it's true that Idaho and now Mississippi and Alabama are proposing those as a felony to leave that state to go into a legal abortion state like Illinois or New York and get an abortion. That's an unconstitutional law, but it is a problem because if you're an OBGYN or you're anybody, you are not going to risk, a felony prosecution, having to spend a couple hundred grand of your own money defending it. This is absolutely disgusting, but this, I got to say, is very, very powerful. Yeah. And if anybody says, oh, it's over the top, it really is not over the top. Not in Idaho.
Matt Flynn, I want you to play a radio lawyer here quickly. Lynn in Oconomowoc texts in and says, Todd, my husband was bedridden, stage 4 cancer. How can he vote? Very quickly, Matt, what's the best way for somebody in that condition to still legally vote?
Right. You get an absentee ballot, and then she can help him fill it out as long as he signs it. He can tell her how he wants to vote, and then he just signs it. If he is bedridden, he's not going to be able to go to voting at the polls.
Matt,
but he has to get an absentee ballot.
Matt Flynn, Trigvi Olson, thank you both. You guys are fantastic. See you next week, Trigvi. See you soon, Matthew. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by the co-host of the Maggie Dawn Show and actor Brian Kelly, and director of the cult classic The Giant Spider Invasion and Wisconsin native Bill Rabane.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.